Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We continue through our examination of the letter of 1 John that the Holy Spirit inspired John, the apostle, not John the Baptist, but John the apostle, the one that was the closest to Jesus to write. And we're actually coming in toward the end of the letter. We're at the fifth chapter today. And if you remember, he's been speaking of what? Loving one another. Yes, loving one another. And those that are born of God and abiding in the Lord. And not sinning, all sorts of various things like that, but really, really, definitely loving the brother. So listen to what's been said here in the first, maybe four verses we'll get through, who knows. Chapter 5, verse 1 says this, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him." And that word child is not really there in and the old copies we have, the original language, like Greek and that kind of stuff. So it says, loves the Father, loves those are the born of Him. So the idea is, if you say, and if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, then you are born of God. You are born again. And if you're born again, then you're going to love other folks who are also born again. Now, here, again, you know, I say this all the time, and not in a an apologetic kind of way, but just reality, because people always have questions about these kind of things. When we love one another, it doesn't mean that we're always going to agree. It doesn't mean that we're going to have common likes, okay? When we'll like one football team, when we'll hate football. No, not that kind of stuff at all. It means this, that we are of one spirit and that we love and encourage and exhort one another because we are one. We will not hate a fellow brother. If you say that you are a brother and yet you hate somebody, what has he told us up to this point? Then you're a liar and you're not of God. So you're really not a brother. You're a false brother. So he's driving home that point again. Verse 2, he continues, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments." So how do we know? He says, by this. How do we know that we love the children of God? When we love God and observe His commandments. So we are to love God. What was the commandment that He gave, and what did He say at the beginning of this letter? He says, haven't you heard this from the beginning? He's actually referencing John, his gospel, where he quoted Jesus as saying, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." So this is how you know that you're actually a child of God, that you love God and you love one another. Verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." That is a biggie there, folks. King James says they're not grievous, okay? That is a biggie, 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 biggie. Well, why is that? Because so often we think that keeping the commandments, keeping the instructions of the Lord are burdens. That is hard. That is impossible. Now, if you're trying to do it in the flesh, yes, it'll be difficult, okay? But if you're doing it empowered by the Spirit and by the love of God and the very fact that God dwells within us, we are keeping that which He has told us to do while He is keeping us by being in us, folks. Think of that, okay? Think of that. We're to keep His commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. If we abide in Him, then we will abide in those commandments. If we don't abide in Him, if we're not walking in Him, then it will be a burden to keep His commandments. I would dare say it would be impossible to keep His commandments. You might be able to be good for a moment, for a season, for whatever, but to keep and to walk in the commandments. So these commandments are not burdensome. They're not the type of thing meant to be a burden, to be a weight, to drag us down. They actually set us free and set us at liberty, folks. Then, verse 4, the last verse we'll look at today. "For whatever is born of God," I like that, "what everyone." King James says, "whatsoever," New American Standard, "whatever." The ESV says, "for everyone." And the Lexham says, "because everyone." So it's talking about the people when you are born of God. "For everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Whoa. So now we see how this actually goes down. It is by our faith and by belief that we can do this, that we can keep his commandments. And that when we love God, when we believe God, when we're born again of God, that very deed, that very action, it has a particular moment, by the way, when you make a decision, when you confess and repent and call upon the name of the Lord, it's not when somebody does something for you. Okay, it's not when you were baptized as a baby and you really didn't have anything to do with that, that your family did it. Okay, there's certain things that are good with this and certain things that are understood. But no, that's not being born again right there. Okay, whatever is born of God, the second that you respond to the Lord and you say, yes, Lord, I repent, I believe, then you have just overcome the world. You've overcome the world and you have victory. And you have this victory by faith. But again, it's not a faith that we have whipped up. You like to see this in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, I think the second verse. Second verse where it says, fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. The way that those phrases are written right there, you know, sort of clouds it in our common vernacular. The author of our faith means the originator. Our faith actually comes from God himself. So the faith that we have comes from him. And Jesus is the originator of our faith and the perfecter. That word perfect always throws us sideways. It simply means the completer, the finisher of our faith, the Alpha and Omega of our faith. Got it? That Jesus originates our faith. We abide in him. We live in him all the way through the balance of our life. And he is the completer and the finisher of our faith to that time we see him face to face, and we will dwell with him forever in eternity. So he's saying this, if you are born of God, you've overcome the world, you have the victory, and that victory that overcomes the world is the faith that we have, and the faith comes from the Lord, and we say, yes, Lord, I believe. That's the whole point of Hebrews. We're doing Hebrews here locally and online in the Bible study. There's 2 points in Hebrews, and I reiterate it over and over to where everybody can remember this. Here's the 2 points. Point one, Jesus is better. Okay, it's a theme of Hebrews all the way through. Jesus is better. He's better than everything. He's better than prophecies. He's better than angels. He's better than Moses, Abraham. He's better than the Mosaic law. He's better than the sacrificial system. He's better than Melchizedek. I could go on and on. The second thing is this. What is our response? Jesus is better. Our response, believe. Two B's, better and believe. And when you believe, belief is just a synonym for faith. When you believe, you've overcome the world. You have the victory, and you are empowered by the Most High God to live a life of loving the world, loving one another, keeping his commandments, which are not burdened, and being his very victorious presence everywhere we go. That is what he's called us to, folks. That is the life we're supposed to live. Actually, that is the existence of the kingdom and the promised land. We think the promised land is heaven. That's not what the promised land is. The promised land is life now, kingdom life now, and what the Lord God wants to do with us. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time. I'll see you in the next episode.